Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Doran's got a headache. He's popping pills. I can't imagine a worse person on earth to sit across from with a headache than me. And I am sorry for me being me. I am not a quiet individual.
Well, I'm used to you. Like, it's like I'm immune. So it's not going to bother me because I know what to expect. I know how you are. It'd be different if it was somebody that was brand new and I was like, I don't know what's about to happen. I know what I'm getting. I know what I'm into. Like, I know where I'm at right now.
So your guy Jason McIntyre's not sitting across from you.
Oh, God.
Jason McIntyre of Fox Sports 1, who says the Steelers are more lucky than good, so we've tweeted it out. @_AdamCrowley, the Steelers are, ? Lucky or good? So far, not all precincts reporting, 73% of people agree with Jason McIntyre. They say they're lucky. I think sometimes, and we did it in the last segment, sometimes you got to zoom out, and a lot of people are giving the Baltimore Ravens benefit of the doubt. Like, oh, the Ravens will figure it out. Why? Marlon Humphrey's out for a couple of weeks, maybe longer. Roquan Smith didn't look good before, out for a couple of weeks, maybe longer. Lamar Jackson out for at least this game, probably longer. Madubuike out for the entirety of the season. Zach Orr, when asked what the Ravens defense needs to do this week to play better football, his answer, if I were covering the Ravens, would have made me throw myself through a plate glass window, was we need to hit harder. Now, you would hope, if you're a Ravens fan, that there are more X's and O's, scheme-related things, more self-scouting that goes into it, then we need to be more physical. That doesn't sound like there's a lot of answers there when you turn the rocks over. But a lot of people seem to be giving the Ravens the benefit of the doubt. And I don't know how you can look at them and go, oh, they'll be fine. But you look at the Steelers and say, no, they're lucky. I just don't get it. Yeah, they've got Lamar Jackson. Well, they won't for 2 weeks. And if they're sitting there at 1-5, Superman would need to go 10-0 probably the rest of the way for them to win the division. That isn't going to happen. They're not going to win with that defense 10 games in a row. You can't outscore teams 10 consecutive weeks in the NFL.
No way.
And I do think they'll be sitting there at 1-5. And I'm not 100% confident in this, but I do think the Steelers will be sitting there at 5-1. It'll take a historic rebound job from a flawed Ravens team to win the division, and it would take a historic Pirates 2011-2012 collapse for the Steelers to not win the division. You're allowed to get better as the season goes on, too, and to be 3-1 when a lot of the elements of this team that we expected to be better haven't been great, I think it's a great place to be, actually.
Yeah, and you have to protect on getting worse, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And getting worse, and the protection of doing that, sometimes that comes with the depth. And whenever I say getting worse, is what the Ravens are going through. Like, their defense has been bad. I understand that's a little bit of that's a little off point there. But getting worse, in my opinion, is losing guys, is getting hurt. So you're going to have to protect around getting hurt and making sure that if somebody does goes down. And I thought they did a great job with it with Kenneth Gainwell. I mean, clearly he was prepared to play as many snaps as he played. And I'm not saying going all the way back to the offseason of just acquiring Kenneth Gainwell. I'm saying the week of having to play in Ireland against the Minnesota Vikings, Jaylen Warren goes down. He was obvious. They had him ready to go.
And they had the scheme ready to accentuate his talents. Great point by you.
So you honestly have to have like kind of like two sets of things that's going on at the same time. You're like, all right, we have our first set, and that's our team. That's what we're going to roll with. But if this happens at left tackle, or if this happens at right, so like now you know that if Broderick goes down, Spencer Anderson can play left tackle
because he's
like,
played meaningful snaps for you already.
Like you have to protect on getting worse throughout the season. Now quarterback, that's a whole different story. We understand that. But you probably feel comfortable with Mason Rudolph going in there and running the offense that has been put out there by Arthur Smith if something happens with Aaron Rodgers. Don't know how good it's going to be, but you feel more comfortable than any other situation that's going on in the North.
If Mason Rudolph has to play a stretch, I feel better about him than I do about Jake Browning.
Yes.
I feel better about him than I do, of course, Dylan Gabriel.
And Cooper Rush.
And Cooper Rush is not a good NFL quarterback.
In that
system.
Yes, exactly.
He does not fit that system at all. And then you've got Mike Tannenbaum, who has never said a positive word about the Steelers in his entire media career. He, of course, for ESPN. He says the Steelers' success isn't sustainable. It's too much short stuff. It's easy to game plan around. Again, maybe that's not because we saw it with the 2020 Steelers. When the Steelers started 11-0 and it was throw short to run long and eventually teams caught on to it, fair enough. But is it okay? And maybe I'm smoking the hopium here, but is it okay to think that the Steelers offense can branch out a little bit? It's been 4 weeks.
Exactly. Like that's what he sees now, Tannenbaum. Like, yeah, they can't. What was his words? He said that they can't sustain this.
He said
this.
Their success is unsustainable.
Okay. Yet. That's what you're seeing right now. Like, there's four games. There's obviously a rhyme or reason of what they're doing. And you can honestly, I can feel it. Like, oh, this offense at the end of October, beginning of November, is probably going to look different and more expansive than it is now.
And if it doesn't, then I could revisit these comments.
Absolutely.
And say, okay, this probably isn't sustainable.
Absolutely.
But I do think it is fair to think, Pat Freiermuth's a pretty decent player in this league. He hasn't been used very much. Jonnu Smith was a Pro Bowl player last year, and he hasn't performed up to expectation level. Jaylen Warren, I think, is a good back in this league. Their best running performance came from Kenneth Gainwell. Could we not see an expanded running game once he's healthy, and now you not have a two-headed monster, but a nice 1-2 punch at that position? Is it okay to think that the offensive line that was much better against the Vikings can continue to gel and maybe not be a strong point, but maybe not be one of the biggest Achilles heels in the NFL?
Right.
I think all those things are possible. Now, are all of them going to transpire? Probably not. But if you can check a couple of those boxes, you're going to be a better football team in 2 months or at the end of the month than you are today. So we can be fair to Mike Tannenbaum here and say right now, yeah, that would be unsustainable. But I think it's fair to be optimistic about where they're headed. What say you, 412-928-9370? The things that are sustainable, red zone offense. Aaron Rodgers has historically been very good in the red zone. He's as accurate and smart a quarterback that has ever played the position. The accuracy's not gone. His brain hasn't turned to mush with the ayahuasca. He's as smart as he's ever been, probably smarter than he's ever been.
No doubt. You
can't do something in the red zone Aaron Rodgers hasn't seen. DK Metcalf, his size, the back shoulder fades. Good red zone weapon. Darnell Washington, good red zone weapon. They've actually showed the ability to run the ball in the red zone. Is it okay that I think that that's sustainable?
Yes.
How about starting games quickly on the offensive side of the ball? I don't know why that wouldn't be sustainable. The game script, Aaron Rodgers, Arthur Smith, they seem to have a nice little mind meld going early in games. They're hot. They're staking the team to a lead. Why can't that be sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't that something that can continue to happen? The 52 pressures the Steelers have had, they're paying for it. Shoot, these last 2 weeks, they've rushed the passer like the team that is spending the most money on defense in the NFL. Why is that not sustainable?
Right.
And why couldn't we think that they, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but why can't we think that they could be better on the back end as the season moves on than they've been, and they haven't been healthy yet?
Or even as in the pass rushing, factory, I guess. Whenever Highsmith comes back, like you're trying to tell me that this team isn't going to get a little bit, even if it's incrementally better, whenever Highsmith and Jalen Ramsey and everybody is on the field at the same time on defense and JPJ, they're going to revert backwards? I mean, they might, but I don't think it's going to be like it's going to be a revert backwards to go forward.
Right.
I can't see them not getting a little bit better whenever they are full strength.
Right.
That's just me, though.
Right. When you've got Slay and Porter and Ramsey, and they're all in the roles that
and
you had
Herbig,
designed.
And you're moving Herbig. Like, mm-hmm. It just allows you to do more whenever you have everybody available. And as the season goes on and you figure out what your team and your identity of your team is, I think that they're figuring that out this past week during the bye week. Like, oh, this is what we are, and this is what we can be. Let's start. We have all of our goals on the board. Let's start going to the next goal. That's the process of having and creating a good team. And as a head coach and as an offense and defensive coordinator, let's go to the next step.
And we've seen it in years past. We saw Kenny Pickett's rookie year. I reference it all the time. They were a bad running team. They turned the ball over a ton. After the bye week, they were one of the best rushing teams in the NFL, and they didn't turn it over. Now, where did it lead? Not to the playoffs. Fair enough. Where has it led the last 8 years, even if you have gotten better at the end of the season? Not to playoff wins.
Carly, I'll say this. It is a lot better if you look around the NFL. You look at the Houston Texans. You look at the Baltimore Ravens. Teams that are probably going to fight for a spot in the playoffs, right? It is a lot better being 3-1 than 1-3.
Yeah. Maybe the Steelers haven't been great. In fact, they haven't been great. You're 3-1.
Yes.
The Ravens suck right now.
It's a lot better. Because you're trying to, if you're the Ravens and you're some of these other teams, you're trying to climb out of the hole before you could even breathe. So once you climb out of the hole, then it's like, oh man, I can breathe now. And now you got to play.
And we've seen it before. And I just referenced it, the Kenny Pickett rookie year. They had to dig out of a hole. And then you drop one game down the stretch and you miss the playoffs by a tiebreaker. That's what happens. Last season, Cincinnati, they played much better football in the second half of the season.
Too late.
It was too little too late. Exactly right. Texter, how the hell can't you get it, Crowley? No one cares about the regular season anymore. We haven't played any legit QBs. Fair enough. They haven't played legit QBs. I do happen to think Seattle's a pretty good football team, by the way, and I think they have one of the best defenses in the NFL. But okay, fair point. We are talking about the regular season sustainability here. Like, we're not close enough to the playoffs to be talking, are they going to win a playoff game?
No.
What's all that look like? They're 3-1. They've won 75% of their games. Is that relatively sustainable? We happen to think it is. Now, we'll revisit it in a month. You do great on a curve. Are you a good team for September? The answer is yeah. If they're playing this level of football at the end of October, they're not going to be playing good enough football. But you grade on a curve. You do.
Month by month.
Yes.
It's legit month by month. Four quarters. September, October, November, December.
And when you roll to December, all the media members, we get to throw our four fingers up. I always like that. Every team in college football. Me too. It's really stupid.
It is.
Every team does.
Fourth quarter. Fourth quarter. You know how many teams I've seen do that, and then the next literal play is a shot play, and they get scored on?
If both teams are running and exchanging sides and throw up the fours, there's no advantage being gained there. The team that figures out we're coming out in the third quarter and throwing the threes up, that's the team that's winning the college football national championship. That's the team that's winning the
Super Bowl. What are you telling us? That you're going to start to play? It's fourth quarter now. We got to dig deep. Why not do that in the first quarter?
I'll tell you, that's one of my big pet peeves. I got two more pet peeves. One is when a guy in any level of football gets shoestring tackled, and then they slam the ball on the ground because they thought they were going to go the distance if they didn't get shoestring tackled.
I know that feeling.
Run through the damn thing.
No, I know that feeling because you feel like you're in the open, and you feel like nobody is around. You're like, oh, man, I'm scoring. And all of a sudden, you just fall on the ground. You're like, what happened? Oh, my goodness.
I actually fumbled once on a play like that. I thought I had a shot. It was like from our 25, and I got the ball as a running back. And I went down the field, and I thought I had an opening, and somebody just like hit me from the side, and I lost the ball. It was so frustrating.
Yeah, you're just not pretty. It kind of jars you. You're like,
Peyton,
oh my
gosh. Wilson coming from behind.
Yep.
DK Metcalf.
Uh-huh.
The other pet peeve is when a player clearly picks up a fourth down, and half the defenders run off the field with their hands up in a fist because they think they got him stopped short, and it's like, you look like such a douche.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Connor Hayward? No. It was Roosevelt Nix who was signaling first down that one time when the Steelers were like 2.5 yards short. It drives me nuts. Those are a couple of pet peeves. If you've got any other football pet peeves, we're going to go off the rails today. You could text them in at 412-928-9370.
Chase Claypool doing the point. and there was like seconds left.
Oh,
in the game.
That was really bad.
That was tough to watch.
Yeah, text in your football pet peeves. We'll get to those. That'll be fun. 412-928-9370. Text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Can I say one more?
Of course.
Or do you want to wait? Let's wait.
You
want
to save it?
Sure.
Okay. Doran will give a big football pet peeve when we come back, and we'll take your calls as well on these 3-1 Steelers. Is their success sustainable? 412-928-9370.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're having some substantial football conversations over here. Like, is the Steelers' success sustainable? And you can give us a ring at 412-928-9370. We're also asking for your biggest football pet peeves. I've got one. You've got one that you've been sitting on. You go first.
Icing the kicker.
Oh!
I hate it.
Great one.
I hate it because you know why? You're burning a timeout. And I don't know if you really need the timeout, but you're burning a timeout for kickers that end up kicking the ball anyway. Like, you're taught to kick the ball. Like, snap it no matter what. So Yes. You're getting an extra rep. You're giving them basically an extra rep to see where they need to get, how they can gauge how far they need to go, you know, the angle. Like, they are going to kick it. Timeout. They're still going to go through their motion and kick it.
I don't know.
So you're giving them an extra rep.
I don't think it works.
I don't either.
And then it makes us all sit around at home. What it does is it doesn't add extra nerves to the kicker because they're professional athletes. What it does is make all of our guts turn to bubbles on our couches at home.
I don't know. I mean, there was one time, remember when Parkey got iced for the Bears and we got the notorious double doink?
We did get the double doink there. There have been moments.
His
ass was missing no matter what.
Right.
No, he made it before they called the timeout.
Oh, good point.
I mean, there's been times where kickers have missed.
Parkey.
Honestly, but like, I just don't think that really works. And I feel like you're giving them an extra rep to gauge where they need to go. Like, it just, to me, it's dumb.
I hate when clear and obvious things are reviewed. Like, there were so many stoppages in baseball yesterday, and I get it, the importance of these games, they're all winner take all, but like, you're just sitting there on a couch, like, is his pubic hair on second base? I don't know. Did his pubic hair cross the goal line? I don't know. They don't know. They're taking a stab at it, and you have just as much a chance of getting it right via replay as you do with what's going on in real time with your eyes on the field. Here's another one. When a defensive back is covering a wide receiver and the ball is thrown 47 yards over the receiver's head and the DB turns around and gives like the I did something celebration. Oh, I'm locked. I got your ass. It's like, brother, if he put that thing on stride, that's going to be a touchdown.
All right. The counterpoint to that is
listen to the football guy.
I mean, he probably is locking it down and the quarterback's like, oh,
no,
I'm going to throw it over their head because I don't want it picked.
Good point. I think what I'm talking about is the receiver clearly has a step, quarterback makes a terrible throw,
And
the DB's like, yeah, lock it down, you son of a blah, 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 blah. Like, you didn't do jack.
Can I go back real quick?
Of course.
You mentioned pubic hair crossing the goal line in reviews. I get the exaggeration, but can you name a time where the pubic hair would actually need to go over the goal line first?
I'll tell you a time where a pubic hair helped decide a championship potentially was whenever Michel Briere, or Daniel Briere for the Philadelphia Flyers, that whole offside thing back in 2012 review, Penguins got effed, down 3-0, whole thing went to hell in a handbasket. I just like saying pubic hair. And he called me out for it. Is the Steelers' success sustainable? John in the car, hello.
Hey, I like saying pubic hair as well.
Nice.
Guys, thanks so much. I got to tell you, like you make my drive into work pleasurable. So
thank you so much
for everything you guys do. The one time that I like the timeout for the field goal is if you have timeouts to burn and let's say there's 1 second on the clock, and I know I'm like, you know, they're like, it's kind of situational, but like, and it's like it's a tie game and you ice the kicker. That is the one time that I think that, why not? What do you have to lose?
You can get into as much minutia as you want to. It's a bye week Friday, my friend. Yeah.
100%, 100%. And again, thank you guys for making my drive-in pleasurable. I love what you do.
You're a very nice man, John.
Thank you, John.
I wish you could actually take timeouts home with you. The old announcer
adage.
And
use them for the next week?
No, just like be able to use them at home. Like my wife's like, do the dishes. And you're like, time! Your kids run in, squirt water in your mouth.
Time.
I'm not ready to do the dishes just yet. I'm going to call time out. Someone comes over, you lay down, they massage your hamstring, you get back out there. All right, hand me the steel wool. I'm going to take care of this business now. 412-928-9370. People like to be negative. Again, the Steelers are in first place. No matter what happens this weekend, they're going to be in first place. Enjoy it while you can, for goodness sakes. It's okay to sit here and be a little bit optimistic about your first place team. But people keep texting in, it's about the playoffs, it's about the playoffs, it's about the playoffs. I totally get it. And here's what I'll say. I think their success is sustainable because there are areas of the team that I think we thought would be better that will improve. I thought they'd be better at running the football. We saw elements of that against the Vikings. In fact, they just flat out ran the ball well against the Vikings. I think they can continue to branch off of that. If that happens, guess what? Play action, where Aaron Rodgers is elite. That's what they did against the Jets, and he was outstanding. He threw 4 touchdowns. I think then DK Metcalf, who had an 100-yard game against the Vikings, I think more of that can then be seen out of a guy that's being paid to do that fairly routinely. That's just a couple of examples. If the Steelers take care of business these next 2 weeks and can thump one out of these 2 very bad football teams with not good quarterbacks and then win against Green Bay, I'm fully buying in. Now, someone texted in as well and said, last season when the Steelers were 9-2, you guys were saying it was different. No, we had serious questions. That's revisionist history. We talked about it. We had serious questions about the sustainability of the Steelers' legitimate drop-back passing game without play action, protecting Russell Wilson. And those things wound up rearing their ugly heads. We were actually right. And when the Steelers lost to the Browns, you said they're going to finish 10-7 again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that other shoe may well drop here. It might happen next week against Cleveland.
Right.
But is that what it would take for Yins out there to fully buy in? If you want to be on the negative side of things, do you need to see them win their next 3 games? Something like that to buy in. 412-928-9370. Texter, full face eye black is the dumbest thing football players can do. I've always wondered, does the eye black work?
No. No.
It just looks cool?
Mm-hmm. No. George, I used to wear the eye patch, not the actual stuff. Like I just like the sticky patch thing.
I recall that, and you looked cool.
Yeah. It never took the glare away.
Do the tinted visors, is that more for looking cool, or is that more for the
cool
glare? Yeah, it's for the cool.
I remember one time in high school, my dad was like, hey, if you stare at the lights at night, then you know, you'll be able to see better. And I was like, really? He was like, yeah, if you just stare at the lights for like a minute, he's like, you know, you'll be able to see the ball, you'll be able to see everything. Man, I was blind the whole entire damn game. I'll never forget that. I looked at him, I was like, I can't see anything now. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you had to be out there staring at the lights. I can't see anything.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
I'm like, what? I was like, you kidding me?
Harry was flexing because Andrew Filippone said, look, I don't take bathroom breaks as many times as Callis does. Now Callis is standing back there, weebling like a weeble.
I just hit the pee, so I'm going to start to pace myself. And I'll hold it, though. I'll be okay.
Well, good thing I have a 2-minute read coming up.
Thank goodness.
Texter writes in, the dances in the end zone after you score a touchdown and your team is down three scores.
I hate that.
Dude, Cam Vaughn for West Virginia did that last week. They were down 35-0. He caught a touchdown pass. He danced for 45 seconds in the end zone, and I lost my mind.
I hate that.
You weren't like that. You always handed the ball back.
Always.
Every time.
Always. Act like you've been there before.
Respect.
I have a theory on luck if you want to explore my
Andrew?
Mind next. No.
All right, we'll get to that coming up next. 412-928-9370. Is the Steelers' success sustainable? And if you don't think so, what could they do to change your...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Texter writes in, did you know a wig for your pubic area is called a merkin? I Googled it. That's true.
What?
I can't quite imagine why one would need that.
Right.
Reduce friction.
I think a Merlin would make more sense. It's like a beard for your area.
A Merlin?
Merlin, like the wizard with the big beard. You're not familiar with Merlin? Get yourself read up on some wizards, my man.
A Merlin.
Mm-hmm. You're not familiar with Merlin?
No.
He's the most famous wizard, Merlin. Him, Gandalf, Dumbledore, Harry Potter. That's the Magic Four.
I think most famous wizard is the Wizard of Oz.
Also, honorable mention.
He does not have a Merlin. He has that long mustache, that curly one.
Michael Jordan, Gilbert Arenas.
So you'd rather have Washington. A wizard's beard as your pubic hair than...
I don't need any of this. It looks like there's a 1980s ABA basketball player shoved upside down up my backside. I don't need any help down there. But I did not know that this thing existed until moments ago.
Can I share my thing on the Steelers?
Oh, yeah, you said something about luck.
So, I agree with you guys that you can't tangibilize luck. Where are you going?
I was picking up a pen.
I thought you were laughing.
Do continue.
I agree with you guys about luck, because I don't think it can be tangibilized. But I think that people look at the Steelers and they go, hey, why aren't they winning games definitively? They always seem to put themselves in dangerous situations, and they always seem to come out of those dangerous situations. And when they put themselves in these close games in the regular season, it seems like that correlates to their postseason performance, which is very bad.
That's fair, which is why I want to see the Steelers beat up on these teams these next couple of weeks. I do think the point differential thing is something that bothers people because the Steelers are, what, minus two right now, and generally that's a predictor of bad things in the future. I would like to see them do to the Bengals what everyone has done these last couple of weeks to the Bengals. They've been outscored 76-13, for goodness sakes.
Because if you don't win comfortably, you leave yourself more susceptible for people to be like, oh, look, they got out of that one with some luck. They had some good fortune. And they've done it consistently enough now where I don't think it's luck. I think that Mike Tomlin actually can figure things out, and they have gotten some good fortune with mistakes from other teams, but the Steelers have also found a way to capitalize on those mistakes when they've won games and they've been able to qualify for the playoffs enough.
Yeah, like was the Seattle win lucky for them because Caleb Johnson made a mistake that literally no player has made in the last 45 years in the NFL?
But to play devil's advocate, the Steelers were already trailing by a good bit, and the Steelers just reduced their opportunities by...
No, they were in that game.
They were in it, but like it wasn't like a one-score game at that point.
It was a one-score game, and then it became a two-score game after that.
It wasn't 10. I thought it was 10 points.
I thought it was 3 and switched to 10. I'll have to look.
I think people underestimate how hard it is to win significantly in the NFL. Like, look at last night's game, for instance. Like, everybody put money. I would love to go see the percentages of who bet the Rams giving points to the 49ers because the 49ers are so banged up, and the 49ers win.
The like, only reason that that game wound up going the way that it went is football.
Exactly.
They are out their top three wide receivers, tight end, quarterback, which, by the way, I don't think Brock Purdy's good. There's a take. I'm not saying he's bad, but Mac Jones out there looking like Brock Purdy.
Product of the system.
Mm-hmm. Texter, callus, reduce friction. What a line. That was a great line.
Well, that's what the natural stuff's for.
Jay in Pittsburgh, good morning.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to tell y'all, no, I don't think the Steelers' success is sustainable. They're going to need a wide receiver, too, at some point. These teams are going to start to catch on, take DK out the game, and I think if they do continue to win games, especially if they're close, it's going to look a lot like the 2020 year where we were basically known as the worst 11-0 team or 10-0 team wherever we were.
A fair point made by you, Jay. Is there anything, though, that they could do to change your mind?
Go get a receiver, too. I feel like Jacoby Myers is going to be on the market here. If not him, then Chris Olave. I was high on Tyreek Hill until he got hurt, but I think they get a wide receiver too, then they can really make a run at this thing.
Thank you, Jay.
They haven't even used Pat Freiermuth or Johnny Smith. How are they going to use a wide receiver too?
That's what Ray Fittipaldo said as well, that they're probably not looking for one. They want to get the guys that they have on the team more involved, and I think that's fair. Like they've been a pretty decent offense this year. Particularly early in games and then late in games. They've bookended the thing. And they haven't used Freiermuth. They haven't used Jonnu Smith to the best of their abilities. And they have only run the ball well in one out of the four games. And it's the most recent one, which gives you hopefully some optimism that they can continue to do that. Tweet us brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. And as always, the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. One of our favorites, Bob in North Versailles, has given us a ring. Hello, Bob.
I tell you what, enough with this pubic hair stuff because I haven't seen one in many years and it's frustrating me. But my biggest pet peeve in football is, what's the role of the get back coach? How does he game plan to get those players off of the sideline? Thorin, help me with this.
Bob, did your ex-wife ever wear a merkin?
All I could tell you was, it was murky, not merkin.
Thank you, Bob.
The get-back coach is usually the strength and conditioning coach.
I would do it for 80K.
They get more than that. But yeah, you could do it for 80K, but you probably would get run over.
I would definitely get run over.
Yes.
Who was it, CeeDee Lamb, who got run over? Or he ran over a ref?
Yep.
That's preseason. It's murky. 412-928-9370. Chris Carter going to join us at 8 o'clock. He, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He'll add some maturity to the show. Somebody texted in with the pubic hair conversation and asked how old we are. We are in our mid-30s.
I got one more. Somebody on the YouTube chat said I had a hairy callus once and I had it removed. And then somebody else commented and said, I think it grew up to be a producer. And I laughed. That's funny.
Texter, dude just said teams are playing DK better now, and he just had his best game. Yeah, he's still running.
Yep.
He ran all the way home from Ireland. 412-928-9370. Give us a ring on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mike Tannenbaum says the Steelers' success is not sustainable. Do you think it is? And if not, what could they show you that would make you believe? 412-928-9370. More calls next, then Chris Carter at 8. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. Texter writes in, guys, your take on the number two wide receiver seems to align with our management and opposes the stance of essentially the rest of the league. That should be a clue as to how wrong you are. Jonnu and Freiermuth are weapons, but they are very different than wide receivers. Couple of things on that. Number one, Jonnu played more outside last year than he played in line. He played more slot and outside than he played in line. And we're talking by a significant margin, like 3-1 outside V in line. Number two, did it work out with Mike Williams last year? No. Jumping on a moving train, things of that nature. Amari Cooper, did it work out with him in Buffalo? I mean, they threw the ball all over the place, right? How'd he play? Not great. He was getting open in Cleveland, and I know he got banged up in Buffalo, but he didn't play very well. So
Devontae.
I mean,
he did decent, but
he was okay. The only guy that did really well was Adams with Rodgers.
That's right, Devontae.
Devontae Adams, yeah. Sorry. I thought you said Deontay Johnson. Devontae. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at you. You and I are on the same page, but on the wrong page.
Yep.
Which is kind of what's happened with Rodgers and Freiermuth this year. And I think they'll actually be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it okay to not freak out about everything? Oh, Freiermuth's making way too much money to play as little as he is. He's had opportunities. He didn't make hay on those opportunities. A third down where there was a miscommunication, and the best throw Rodgers made all year, he dropped. Now you have a bye week. Figure it out. If we're having the same conversation again at the end of October, then I'll freak out. But think about all the wide receiver trades last year. The one that worked was when you reunited a historically great combination. That's not out there anymore, unless you get Devontae Adams, which ain't happening. I like Jacoby Myers. Again, ask me again in a couple of weeks. If the passing attack stalls or Calvin Austin doesn't come back and play well or .. whatever, then yeah, we can revisit it. But I think it's a hard thing to get a wide receiver on the same page with an offense in the middle of a season, especially when you're not going to have a bye week in there at any point to help get that guy up to speed. I'm out of breath. Jay in the South Side, hello. Jay! Hello, Jay! Scott in Oakland, good morning.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, I am thinking that to a degree it is sustainable with the Steelers, but, and this is a big but, they need to get a serviceable number two. I'm not even talking an elite number two. I'm just saying someone that is serviceable. You have past history with Rodgers with guys like Lazard and Dobbs. I mean, would you even take a chance on someone, say, an Odell Beckham, or is there someone else out there who... I don't know if they'll be able to pull off a trade for Chris Olave, and considering how much he's been concussed, I mean, that's definitely a concern. I mean, what are your thoughts? Are there any other names besides the obvious ones that might be able to... that the Steelers might be able to make a deal for or do something with out of free agency? I'll take your comments off the air.
Thank you, Scott. I mean, Jacoby Myers has been brought up. Calvin Ridley would be an option.
One, I just don't know how long Calvin Austin's going to be out for real.
Right.
Two, I still go back to not being able to get the other tight ends to football first. I don't think that the Steelers are going to want to take on money for 1 year right now. So I think they're going to just roll with what they have. And I don't think that if you're looking to create some depth at wide receiver and you want to get like an older veteran that could come in and be a part of a unit, I don't think Odell Beckham's the guy that you want doing that. So
no.
I think that wide receiver two conversation, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
I'll put a pin in it for now, but I can't believe I'm coming around on this. I don't hate the Lazard or Dobbs thing.
No, I don't hate it, but I just don't see the Steelers doing it.
Yeah.
Because they really like Calvin Austin, and I don't know how long he's actually going to be out.
I think it's really encouraging that the offense has shown some really nice things, and they're still clearly not on the same page. Like, clearly. And you add another element to that. I mean, when are you ever going to get on the same page? And same thing defensively.
Right.
Like, in the secondary, they haven't had all their guys. They're not going to have all their guys. JPJ will come back, and then you're going to lose Jalen Ramsey. You still have a lot of moving parts. And at some point, you need to gel. And I think they needed a number two wide receiver. And they should have addressed that in the offseason.
Right.
But getting that guy in here now and expecting it to work out, like, especially Jacoby Myers, he's got 1 year left. Like, he would upgrade the team. Is he going to be here after the year? I've thought a lot about this. Like, I want a guy in the offseason. Like, if you got traded for him in the offseason and then paid him and he'd be here for next year with Rodgers and maybe a rookie quarterback and going forward, okay, great. But if you got bringing in a guy on a one-year deal, like I think you're kind of looking at Mike Williams all over again. Yep. Like they showed us last year that they're not adept at handling that situation. And they had a ton of – Pickens was hurt down the stretch, and Mike Williams couldn't help the team then? Eh. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. This weather's been incredible.
It's really nice.
Oh, it's beautiful. Tomorrow for the Pitt game, going to be up near 80 degrees. Noon kickoff here on The Fan. Today, a high of 78, low of 53, clear skies.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.